Emily Saliers, Mazel Tov, congratulations, and welcome back to City Lights.
Thank you, Lois. I'm really thrilled, and I'm especially thrilled to be with you. I'm going to try not to gush too much. You know we love you. I'm really happy to be here. Thank you.
Oh, it's so exciting to have you. And first, I was hoping you'd talk about the title. What is the significance of Murmuration Nation?
Well, a murmuration is a flock of starlings, and I've always been drawn to birds. I'm not sure why, particularly blackbirds. And I saw a video footage of a murmuration of starlings, and they do all this shape-shifting, fluid movement in and out of each other. No one really understands why, and even if they think they do, I still don't think we know. But they think maybe it's to ward off prey. But anyway, it's this beautiful soaring togetherness of this flock. I saw it as a metaphor, but what's happening in this country as groups of people form together in their communities and their movements without the hierarchical structures of power or telling them what to do. And so we're flocking together for social change and for understanding in a time in our country where there's so much division.
Mm. Your colleague and almost sister, soul sister, Amy Ray, was on a few weeks ago, and she also had this uplifting message of we can work together and we can do this and we can do this transcending our political beliefs if we just all consider what we face. And that description of Murmuration Nation sums it up beautifully. A lot of people are calling this album surprising. But maybe unexpected is a better word. What do you think distinguishes Murmuration Nation from your profound work with Indigo Girls?
I think the focus is largely on the rhythmic section. At the center of every track is a rhythmic reality and a groove. And Indigo Girls, we do a little bit. I've always been, I mean, African-American music is the music that really stirs my soul. And so if whether it's gospel or, you know, or whether it's hip-hop, political hip-hop, even non-political hip-hop, and R&B singing. So I can't be that, and I don't want to co-opt it, but I just felt that I wanted to bring these songs to life with that rhythmic reality that the African-American history of music has brought to American culture. And so that's what distinguishes it largely, is the focus on the beats, the rhythm, and the groove.
I loved reading your description of the reverence you have for R&B artists' music that conveys soul in the greatest of ways. Tell us about what you describe as body music.
Well, I think it's something that you can't process your way through mentally. It's like a direct a shock to your system, the music that just makes you want to sway and move. And we are physical beings, and I feel like a lot of times our mental processing gets in the way. And so music that really strikes at my body and makes me feel and makes me want to sway or move is body music. So, you know, folk music can be quite cerebral. Some of it is just truly in its essence telling the story of the folk. But then a lot of it, you know, at least in my history of songwriting, I've been thinking about things and how to put them down and so on. But really, you know, if I go to an African-American church and hear black gospel music, that is my direct line to the Creator. And it stirs my body and my soul. So it's nice to, it's just nice to be near that music. And so I wanted to bring that influence into the album.
Let's hear an example of the influence. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe, well, you choose.
Well,
Serpent Love?
Well, now Serpent Love is kind of a sultry, so it has the groove to it and a bit of that thing. But if you wanted to go in full on the beat, I would go into Spider or OK Corral.
Yeah, let's start with Spider.
capital beast. The ones expected, expected the least. Fall in the silk field, but clang as a hammer, it's stronger than steel. Spinnerets, drag lines, and pedipalps. It's a cash you're buying in, you're not getting out. No browbeating, sanctions, or chest beating. The most dangerous enemy appears to be sleeping. That's the company you're keeping. Spider in your empty web. What are you waiting for?
Now, you know, I can't leave a song alone. I've got to take the body of a spider and make it be a metaphor for the military-industrial complex. I can't help myself.
You're a poet, Emily. What can we say? But when I was reading about this, there was some reference to heavy metal and Native American a cappella. I got to tell you what I heard, which I mean endearingly, in the very opening, War.
Oh, yeah.
The group.
Not War, the conflict, no. But War, the group. Oh.
Yes. And,
Were
you born?
Yes, War in the 70s.
Mm.
Yes, ma'am, I was listening. I had my ear glued to the radio in the 70s.
Well, this like everything else you do, it's just meaningful on so many different layers. And, of course, the beat, the rhythm, that, inextricable link between music, rhythm, the soul. And then you come on with this gorgeous, soothing voice, which is quite a contrast to a lot of the other things that are going on.
Well, it's the only voice I have, so I had to sing with it. And it's actually, Lois, it's like an internal struggle. I have this voice. It's kind of sweet. It's not like a booming voice. And I feel a lot of the beautiful conflict that music can stir within us. I feel inside me and I want to get out. And then I have this vehicle, which is my voice. So it's always been like, oh, I wish I could sing like Amy Ray, or I wish I could sing like Mary J. Blige or Ann Wilson, or, you know, but I can't. And so
you got to be you.
I got to be me. And this is just how I deliver it, with this beautiful production that Lyris Hung, my producer.
Let's talk about her.
Ugh, what can we say about her? Amy and I met her at Michigan Women's Festival, and we became friends, and she came on the road with Indigo Girls. She went to Juilliard, Columbia School of Music, so she's got the pedigree, but she's also had her own heavy metal band. She produced their album, and she's played in all kinds of, you know, she can write string arrangements and so on, but she loves all kinds of music. When she started producing these little snippets of ideas I sent to her in her home studio with the beats, I was like, I lost my mind. I was like, this is the one. This is the person who can bring this to life. And now, like, we were just at Eddie's Attic last night. We played two shows, and Lyris was with me, and she just creates this world of music. So even though it's just the two of us, it's, for me, it's very gratifying musically. But the opening in Spider, when it kicks in, is electric violin. It's not electric guitar. So she creates all these crazy sounds with violin, and she's a good egg, as we say.
Now, is she living here now, or is she still in New York?
No, she's a New Yorker, and she lives in New York, and she tours with me and Amy when she can, and then we'll be doing a lot of solo shows together. We're going to take a band out in October and play in Atlanta and across the country, but right now, she's staying at my house and training my unruly dog, because she can do that too.
Tell me about the unruly dog again.
well, we're talking about Oscar.
Yes.
I got him as a puppy, and he really, really grew, and he's a little bit of a, I don't know how to describe him. He's in his own little world. And we're looking for a better fit for him, a place where he can run and be fully Oscar. And
well, Amy has, what, 9 dogs?
I know. She has too many, or she would take them. And Lyra said, because she lives in New York, most of the places are small. She's like, if I had room, I'd take him. I was like, well, let me help you buy a house.
Getting back to the album, by the way, if you're just joining us, this is City Lights on WABE, Atlanta's choice for NPR. I'm Lois Reitz is here with you and Emily Saliers. Her solo album, Murmuration Nation, is out today. Let's listen to another track. You and Amy have been performing with full orchestras, including our own Atlanta Symphony Orchestra, yes, over the past few years or so. I was wondering if we could give a listen to Sad One or Train Inside. Which do you think first?
Let's listen to Sad One.
Okay. We might hear some of that orchestral influence.
Remember when we stole that time alone? We ran like bandits with our bags of gold. We laughed like thieves beneath a liar's moon. And had to pay it all back way too soon. Along my way I've left a trail. Of your situation into the promise of the nearest station. Over the distance and time, from the other end of the line, the weight of your pleasantries just makes me.
The strings were just about to come in.
we have time.
This is...
Here we go.
If timing counts for everything.
So, you know, this music lives in many different places.
It does.
Without ever falling short of a category. It's truly a unique blend that you've created. And Sad One, along with Train Inside, almost sound like they could be the emotional centerpieces of a musical. Have you toyed with the idea of a rock musical? Hey, they have all those cheesy jukebox musicals on Broadway. Why not? You know,
I have toyed with it. I was actually just talking to my friend Lee Nowell. She's a playwright, a fabulous local playwright. We were just talking about a musical just the other night. So I feel like this is a time of great growth for me and excitement and gratitude for all the opportunities that life is offering. And I'd like to just be ready and open to, you know, whatever inspiration comes along. And I can see a musical fitting into that. So I keep saying this to people I talk to, but I saw this card in a card shop that said, how old would you be if you didn't know how old you are?
And?
Young. Like new, like excited, like, you know, and I have a life of great privilege. I never take that for granted. You know, there's just so many people who struggle and they're not in jobs they like and they've, you know, societally are oppressed and don't have these avenues of opportunity. And, you know, I'd like to always remain grateful for the avenues of opportunity that I have and have had.
Well, that comes through in your work. I'm wondering also about why Fly is the second of the tracks, because let me back up here. It feels like Murmuration Nation is the sort of album that should be listened to from beginning to end, as one would read a book. I mean, I'm not saying this is a memoir, but it feels like it has the arc of a book. And you've called Fly the crux of Murmuration Nation. You've talked about the beautiful starlings and the formations and the metaphor that means for you. So why did you make it second on the track list?
I think it was because it was a musical decision, because we wanted really something to hit hard as the first track, and Spider does that. And then Fly, actually, you know, musically, it's a little more in the pop realm, which is normally associated with the kind of songs that I write. And so we just wanted to start out with a bit of a musical, diversion, and then go into Fly. And of course, the name Murmuration Nation is all tied up in the song Fly. But it is, you know, like Lyris and I were very careful about putting 12 songs together. On the CD, you get 12 songs. That's the album. There are 15 songs that we recorded. So the three ones that are at the end, 13, 14, 15, that you get on the LP, or you can download or stream or whatever, those are bonus tracks. Now, not everybody listens to an album from beginning to end anymore, but this is the way that I still approach music. I like to sit down. I like to read the credits and the liner notes. And
oh, and when I think back of, you know, the golden age of LP, how intimate an experience it was to sit down listening to an LP both sides from beginning to end on vinyl and feel like I was getting to know this musician or this group in a way that I wouldn't have known just from hearing a single on the radio, or back when you heard singles on the radio. That's extraordinary, and I think it's very interesting to learn that about the bonus three tracks. Of course, when I just saw the name before I had listened to the track, I was thinking, maybe Superfly is what we were going to hear. But no, and there I am back in my mind's
back in the 70s.
I can tell when I came of age.
Yeah, me too.
Emily, would you mind talking a little bit again about how you funded this project? Because this is an inspiration for up-and-coming musicians, I think.
It really is. I funded it through a group funding site and company, I guess you could call them, called Pledge Music. And there are lots of other ones, and we considered some other ones like Kickstarter, and there's Indiegogo, and but they do other kinds of projects. But Pledge Music just focuses on musical projects. And if you look at the Pledge Music site, now all kinds of artists are using it. Most of them have already made their record, and they use it as a promotional thing. But so what it was getting fans involved in the funding and the experience of the record. And so very early on, they could go on and pre-order the record on the site, on the Pledge Music site, for $10, $9.99 or whatever. And then they would get access to all the updates and all the personal videos and messages that I provided on the site along the way. And then there were other things that they could order if they wanted to, like a t-shirt or an LP, or they could have personal experiences with me. Like, we did a couple brunches at Watershed, my restaurant, and people flew in from across the country. And then we did some Skype sessions where I talked to people, and I did some guitar lessons. And so there was a range of things that if supporters wanted to have them, they could. And then all that money went directly into the making of the record. So without that campaign and without the support of, they're like my patrons, but I have such a deep gratitude for those people, because first I was uncomfortable with the notion of crowdfunding. But as I got into it, and knowing me, I'm like to the people, like the fans, are you guys okay with this? Because like, I don't want to ask you, I hate to ask you for money to do. And they were like, we love this. This is good. It's okay.
We can tell that your mom and dad raised you listening to public radio.
Exactly.
Hey, Pledge Music? Keep that in mind.
Hey, how many times have I pledged to WABE? That
is the
truth. I know, but it is true. I've got my towel.
But I think what you're saying just speaks volumes about not only the gratitude to the fans, but literally an investment because of their commitment. And they then, come on, you could have stopped with just sending a t-shirt, but lunch or, you know, breakfast at Watershed and a guitar lesson or whatever. You are at a pinnacle in your career, and you do not, I don't mean to say you do not need to do this, but there are many artists nowhere near your stature who don't want to be that connected to their fans. This says a lot.
I loved it. I have to say I was surprised, you know, because I'm a bit of an introvert. After the shows, I'm the first one in my bunk on the bus, and after a show, I just kind of shrink into a shell. But this interaction with the fans, and they're all wonderful. There's no haters out there like in Indigo World. And so it
in
was...
Indigo World, there are haters?
No haters. No haters that I've come across.
Oh, good.
You know, like in social media, a lot of times people get negative comments or whatever, but I didn't experience any of that. And honestly, I couldn't have made this particular record without that crowdfunding on a very basic, practical level, because we made the record in a beautiful studio in New York. And we went to France to use a woman mixer, Veronica Ferraro, because she was highly recommended. And then we mastered it with one of the best masters in the country. And so all that cost money. And without the help of the fans, couldn't have made this record. And I love this record, and I'm super grateful.
It's easy to understand why. Emily Staliers, it is such a huge honor that you chose to come to us, to WABE, on the day of your first solo release. Thank you so much for joining us. Again, Mazel Tov, and brava for all that you do.
Lois, you are the voice of my family's life, and I love WABE. I do. I love WABE, and I love this local radio that brings the community together. So thank you so much for having me. Really, it's an honor.
And I have to say, as I look at you, and I can just barely see the top part of your face, the nose, eyes, and pretty red hair above the microphone, I see your dear mom.
I see her,
so
too.
So special to us.
Oh, Mom.
Thank
Hope you're
you.
Smiling down. Love
thank you.
You and happy birthday to my dad today, 80 years old. Don Saliers.
Don Saliers, an awesome man. Murmuration Nation is out now, and we'll have this interview as well as a link to more information on our website, wabe.org/citylights. And built it on the broken back.